This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
This particular project was as a result of an invitation coming from Fairmount Art Park Association, which is, I understand, among the oldest association focusing on art in public space in this country. And there were many interesting proposals, so I met quite complex thinkers, artists who contributed to this project. When I look at the City Hall, I realize that it's populated by an enormous amount of statues. It looks like there was a kind of opportunity given to lots of artists to contribute to this the surface of this building at that time. Of course, the top one is inhabited by the key person, but everybody else is carved into facades. At the same time, before coming up with this idea, I studied the situation in Philadelphia. I look, as far as I remember, as I'm speaking, I'm recalling that time. It was a long time ago. So I looked at Yellow Pages. I found enormous amount of organizations set up to help people in troubles. I went to see various parts of the city, realize how difficult life people have in various parts of Philadelphia, and how far they are, how distant their situation is from the perception of those who work in the center or tourists who come to see the city, and perhaps even from those who work inside of the City Hall. I should not say it, but it looks like the amount of organizations set up to help people was a very positive sign, but perhaps could be interpreted as an attempt to compensate for the lack of centrally planned system of social support. And maybe I was wrong, but the idea was to come up with a proposal for illumination of some part of the city or some structures. So other artists invited came up with very interesting proposals, very radical in many ways. I didn't know about those proposals before projects were reviewed, but I was pleased to be part of that, of this whole adventure. So I think that, the idea of creating, of transforming the City Hall into some kind of beacon that is sensitive to what's happening in the city, perhaps only seen from the very top of the building, but not easily from the ground when you are around. That came to me quite suddenly. I haven't developed any idea of this sort before. So I've been already known for projecting images on buildings using slides at that time, but animating buildings with imagery, not lighting. So in that sense, I felt very estranged on this territory, very lonely in terms of my own experience. I was taking at least my own the personal risk in terms of my own field of work, entering something of which I knew very little. But because this was a responsive project, it was maybe not interactive, but definitely socially responsive and hopefully responsible project. So I needed to think of interface for the first time, to be part of the project, which I didn't develop that part in my proposal. I was hoping that the next stage there would be an opportunity to work with a team of people and figure out what would be the best system of gathering, changing information about changing situation in the city, and verify it also quickly enough to maybe with some delay to be extrapolated into illumination system of the city, and who actually will be in charge of taking care of that system. What kind of body of from various social strata of the city should actually be discussing it and taking care of it, right, between life changing and the city hall illumination. Maybe change, kind of changing committee of engaged city dwellers, you know, making some decisions, because you need to decide many things. It has to be mediated, it has to be, let's say, curated in some way. But the system, of course, maximum could be automatic, but it has to be also social. Cannot be that city itself will see itself automatically. It has to be somebody. So the city hall will have to accept this kind of additional organism, representative body, you know, to as a part of the democratic process. So it is, in other words, the system itself is just a beginning of designing another aspect of it, which is maybe even more important than the kind of media proposal itself. So in that sense, I was very pleased with the way this project entered completely new avenues for me, and also established contact with the city, even very superficially. I mean, I had to really check. I even went also to see Mummers Parade, which for me was extremely important part of life of the city and evidence of energy, social mobilization that is taking place over an entire year in preparation for this one night event. So I actually went to see this in a museum, Mummers Museum, as well. It was part of my, let's call it, research. But so I got to like Philadelphia, because it's easier to start liking something when you learn more about it. So I became more familiar with, I felt more at home there. Of course, the same city is the place where my favorite Polish hero lived, Tadeusz Kościuszko, and have a very strong kind of relation, friendship with Jefferson. And also, that's the place where my favorite American artist lived and worked, Thomas Eakins. I remember, it's a side story, when I first arrived to the United States in 75, I went straight to Philadelphia to see this Dr. the Gross Clinic painting, which was at the time in Alumni Hall. So I was late, so I had to call the guards to open Alumni Hall so I could see the painting, which was in fact exhibited in Fairmont Park initially, accidentally, as a part of industrial exhibition. That's a major media technological medical achievement. But anyway, that Philadelphia and the historical Philadelphia and the present day Philadelphia, and the City Hall is a remarkable building. At that time, it was still the tallest building, I think, in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. As far, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think so. It was a long time ago, but I don't remember a taller building at that time. And of course, the story about Holy Experiment, which is a 17th century story. So I thought, well, if in 17th century Philadelphia, Pennsylvania could organize itself to take care of every minority and recognize every religious group and also secure peace and lack of any war with Native Americans around. You know, why not simply create a responsive system that will make people aware of, you know, what's happening in the city? And in a kind of positive sense, imagining that when there is when the illumination can be part of a family stroll on Sunday, where the daughter or little child is asking parents, what's happening on this building? Why are those lights changing? What does it mean? That the parents would actually know what it means, because there will be information in some newspapers all the time about the code system. there will be some sense of belonging to the city and perhaps feeling responsible to some degree as a citizen for the future of the city, maybe in voting mm-hmm. situations and also in some work, cultural work or educational work, every other area of activity, there will be some element of consciousness that perhaps, well, if there is no lighting, this may be something wrong. That is some general sense where we are in a given time.
So it's, to talk about the system that you are proposing, in a way, you're arguing that first there has to be a sensitization so that there can then be a responsibility, let's say, that is
right.
acted upon, that is enacted. Right? Like the system isn't prescribing the form of responsibility, right? It's more, it's trying to synchronize city dwellers is trying to sensitize city dwellers to each other, would you say?
Yeah, if they put so much effort on visual of visual narrative of City Hall already, you know, that's already evidence that somehow just the building City Hall is not enough. You have to make some aesthetic and symbolic effort to inscribe some values and we have certain pedagogical program in its symbolism. So, you know, why not using the illumination system just to continue this project in the kind of unfolding, in the real, not real, almost, let's say, real time, to really see to make use of this architecture further, make it more useful. So I don't remember many details. Maybe as we talk more, I'm sure I will recover. It's clear that Philadelphia was already known for having more public monuments or sculptures per capita than any other city in the world. That's what I was told already. So I was not keen on projects that would add more of those sculptures and statues and things like that.
But also because those statues function often in Philadelphia fairly hegemonically, right? To reinforce existing social conditions.
And also reinforce sometimes isolation of groups, because it looks like every social group has own monument. So there's a little bit of a, there's nothing really that through which people can communicate with each other. They just communicate within their own groups. Mm-hmm. On the Imamers parade, each of those groups appears in public space at the same chunk of time and is being recognized by City Hall, because the awards, I guess, as if I remember, are given by the jurors who are sitting in front of City Hall, right?
So the idea that City Hall becomes at once a counter-hegemonic and at the same time a hegemonic space, like some other City Hall?
It's a once a year. So, of course, some people say those festivals are just safety balls. That's how we used to hear this from cultural geographers in the 80s or 90s, that were very skeptical about urban festivals. I'm not. I think that the process of preparing for it takes such a long time, and people make very good use of the preparations to really keep themselves busy discussing things and meeting each other and maybe arguing over some of those projects. So that's not bad, but of course this is only once a year.
But City Hall Tower Illumination was supposed to function in a similar modality, I would say.
Yes, yeah. but all year long.
Yeah.
I want to ask something about the moment where you were saying that in a Sunday stroll the parents will explain what the code means to their children. That is, that layer of abstraction is very interesting, because it's not the meaning of the code or the image is not given. Each time there's an interpretation and there's an effort to decode what is happening, to understand what is going on. So it's not about the image is there to be understood, but it, the situation that needs to be interpreted based on today's context. You know, what is happening today, so that they have to interpret what is going on. So that layer of abstraction, the layer of the kind of language that you offer so that people can use that and talk about these things, not necessarily always in the public, but in conversation to each other or to their children. I think it's very different from, you know, the projection work that you've been doing. So I think there's an interesting connection, but there's also a nice way of reanimating after it's been, after it's animating the City Hall. The code needs to be reanimated when during the interpretation.
And reanimated in an interpretive way, but also it might need to be rediscussed and changed.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, we have this code, but maybe part of the system, it should be already assuming or even demanding that on the basis, annual basis or 6 months basis, has to be rediscussed by those groups of the committee that is in charge, changing committee, to discuss whether the categories are right. Maybe there are new problems that will need to be symbolized or represented by this system. So at that time I was just thinking of the issues that I learned from various organizations, various whatever I could find at the time. So, of course, homelessness. But the degree of those problems are fluctuating. So the school dropouts were there, mm-hmm. right?
And the homelessness. The
people yeah. who are, employment, unemployment.
Yes. Maybe there are other issues today. We have, of course, if we were to reactualize this project, we have to do it with maybe criticism and skepticism about its original assumptions. Definitely starting with the situation of immigrants or refugees, you know, in relation to what's happening in the world that forces those people to seek refuge. Anyway, we know that cities are now, in this moment, maybe more than at that time, often in opposition to federal government policies. So the cities actually are manifesting their opposition and demanding their autonomies and counting on citizens to supply money and social energy to run the programs for which city is not expecting to receive money from the president or government of the United States. So there is a new mobilization, and perhaps this kind of system could help this mobilization if it was properly coded.
The question of well-being of the city, because there's something about, you know, the current climate, the current socio-political climate that makes us think about how do we connect, reconnect. We connect through what being part of the Mummers Parade, or we connect through, you know, social media today. We have many different ways to mm-hmm. connect today. But these kind of projects also make us think about, you know, what is the right way to connect, because connectivity doesn't mean that we are communicating with each other. We are just aware of certain things. And one interesting question is, what is the right way to connect so that we can think about a better form of, you know, connect, you know, citizenship, so that the city's inhabitants feel much more in touch with each other, in, you know, and work towards, you know, supporting each other, solidarity, and those kind of issues.
Well, I don't have answer to those questions, but obviously this project today will have to take advantage of social media that didn't really exist at that time. Yeah. So was, but then not to be replaced by social media. So the issue is how to make connection between our physical presence and gatherings in physical public spaces with our communications and connections that we make and information we send to each other through the electronic means. So perhaps possibility of maybe there is a possibility to create some kind of software program that will have enough feedback and filters and mm-hmm. that will to some degree prepare illumination, the output to be well informed by input. Of course, still has to be checked and mediated through representatives, but maybe if we work longer on this, we could definitely make perfect use of contemporary media in this, because it seemed to be waiting for good analysis of all available means that media provides to combine here and extrapolate it into visual effect. And that may be also seen in the same media, because of course we could We could have we could watch the same building on our smartphones, and we could check, we could discuss it. We could constantly discuss it. We could argue. We could have a parallel kind of process going on. So this would be just one aspect of to which people will be responding in their discourse. I have to stop because it's not the right place to start designing it in this conversation. We didn't initially, even that proposal didn't reach the design stage proper. It was initial proposal, and I was a little sad that none of those projects actually were realized, as far as I know. That somehow it was just that we enjoy our project proposals. I'm not sure what was the response to this project fully in media. Maybe you know more about this, whether there was any discussion around this project outside of inner circle of Fairmont Art Park Association.
Yeah, I mean, it's been now 30 years, right? 30 years since its original articulation. And to go back to kind of an earlier moment in the conversation, it seems that so many of the challenges, although maybe, again, the media landscape has changed, so many of the challenges that Philadelphia faces are the same. And City Hall's position seems even less visible now than then. It, as you were alluding to in the proposal, City Hall today is a historical artifact. There's a visual narrative, there's a neoliberal economic narrative that's playing out through markets around City Hall, but for the most part it remains a space that does not function to build social cohesion, mm-hmm. and it does not function as a space of care. And what's so moving and beautiful about the proposal is how it, in a way, encourages us to think about the possibility that we might live in a society with other individuals who care for us, right? And the very notion of calling the hotline assumes that in some sense one feels that somebody else cares for you, or at least will be a witness to your vulnerabilities. And I think it's interesting to think about today how we are in a similar place where I think at least in Philadelphia there's this sense that nobody cares, that City Hall doesn't care for you, but also the fellow inhabitant doesn't care. And ironically, this matters because Philadelphia, its very name, correlates to a city of love and of friendship and of affiliation. And I think you got it right, in a way, with this proposal, this focus on how affiliation and friendship and love has broken down, and how could we repurpose and re-symbolize and resynchronize the spaces of the city.
I have to bring also to this conversation the fact that I came to Philadelphia with another project that was Homeless Vehicle project, which was both tested, or at least made public, presented in New York City and in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, it was organized thanks to Painted Bride, mm-hmm. in New York with Exit Art. And the difference, of course, was there was a different conditions, different bylaw regarding recycling or reselling of gathered residue. So probably would need to, I knew there was a need to further design this vehicle for Philadelphia, but still with a recycling center in Philadelphia, with homeless people who were operating as professional resellers or redeemers of the residue, we actually I mean, they became very much present around City Hall. So in fact, it was a video insert in the news in Philadelphia, television news. It was interviews with those who were operating this vehicle. And this was done around the City Hall. And there was those avenues that lead to the City Hall and also in the immediate area. So in that sense, without maybe consciously aware of the link between my initial project and this vehicle, I somehow continue the general cultural direction of creating opportunity for people to be visible, to actually speak of the conditions of their life and their visions, because there were some very interesting comments from both men and women who were operating this vehicle. I remember one, I forgot the names of those people, but she said, I support this project as a work of art because it's not art as art, but it's art with the meaning. So for her, the idea of art with the meaning was very clear, which is not necessarily true for many of those who discuss art. There's always that doubt about that socio-aesthetic approach, as I call it. But they didn't have any problems with it. So it was clear that she also pointed out to many improvements in this vehicle, which, somehow I was planning to implement, but it will have to be a continuation of the project in Philadelphia, which didn't happen. But it's registered there, and maybe there are some photographs and some documents of that project somewhere, maybe in the hands of Painted Bride.
Today, in 2017, would it still be City Hall that you would, if one were to re-engage this work in 2017, would it still be City Hall, or would City Hall now not be, in a way, the site that one would...
It doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
It's no longer as clear a symbolic structure as it used to be. Mm. But I don't know. You see, I don't live there.
Yeah.
I have to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, Orkan and I over the last few years have talked a lot about that question of
the site, the location,
the site, yeah.
Symbolism.
And
maybe it would have to be not so centralized.
That's
perhaps
the same conversation
it would have to be in public transport,
yeah.
Transportation, and in some other ways inscribed into the fabric of the city. that was. There was still a lonely building, Now it's surrounded by skyscrapers,
yeah.
But also maybe our thinking changed. The perception of the city is through social media as well. So the question is how to make link between those smartphones and all of the electronics that we carry and
public space.
Yes, yeah. And public space. I have to start thinking from scratch.
Yeah. I mean, we were thinking maybe it wouldn't even be a singular site.
Exactly.
Maybe it would have to be distributed. And maybe the neighborhoods, rather than, let's say, the space of supposed political representation, would have to be the predominant.
Imagining different kinds of clusters. But even maybe the question of how does one today design for care? Like, how do you make people not only just connect with each other, but initiating this, situation of caring? Because it's not listening is one thing, or giving voice to somebody is, another one. But how do we really express that we care about each other?
Yeah.
That usually happens in public space a lot more than online. You know, when you, there's still, Philadelphia is still very active, in terms of the people, homeless people on the street, and people are giving money to them. And there's a certain kind of city hall still has a lot of people around, so it attracts a lot of people that are in need. And then those you engage, so you help or support these people because they're around that clustered area. I mean,
the,
because
the subway city station doesn't support them.
City doesn't support them, but the Philadelphians.
And interestingly, despite having redesigned now the whole area around City Hall in the last 2 years, attempting, let's say, to eliminate the
visibility of the problem.
Exactly.
Exactly.
People have a tendency to cling to those spaces as symbolically important.
Yeah.
So their discourse and their presence, their relation to each other is connected with symbolic site.
Yeah.
This cannot be easily, even if you rebuild the site, there is still a psychogeography, a social geography that keeps people in the same areas. So that saying this, I have to refer again to this homeless vehicle. Presentation operation in Philadelphia. At that moment, my thinking also switched. This first, of course, with the Philadelphia City Hall Illumination Project, my thinking switched because of this interface and responsiveness and participation. But with homeless vehicle, my thinking shifted into the importance of performative importance of people, the capacity to narrate and discuss and engage others in public space. The vehicle, homeless vehicle, was very important for me because it's a successful operation, unexpectedly successful operation in terms of creating a moment of communication between homeless and non-homeless and arguments and discussions across and among various groups. That successful, unexpected outcome also opened up this insufficiency of this project. Mm-hmm. It was insufficient in terms of lack of communication, memory and electronics and media. Because when you talk about storytelling, about the memory of somebody's life, stages of life towards homelessness, and also discussions that take place that could also be replayed and kind of reinserted and also in unreached with new voices, this was not there. But the importance of the presence of the person who lived through City Under Transformation, who remembers other times and who has some clear critical vision about where cities should go, that is irreplaceable. You cannot, but I still feel that there is a possibility of equipment, social media equipment that everybody has, but also to further develop design of equipment, which will not be just simply, clicking, but touching the screen,
you don't need an app
putting
for
into
this.
Your ear, and there's tiny applications there. Something that will make good use of this equipment, but also create additional interface between this equipment and human body and human performance and communication. So I think that part perhaps could be an avenue to to move on after the Philadelphia City Hall Illumination Project, to see how far we could spread this and enhance it with new interfaces.
Mm-hmm. But it's tricky. I mean, I agree, but what's so compelling at the same time about this is that, and perhaps it was a mythology even in 87, but what's so compelling is this kind of unavoidable aspect right? Such that that you can't just turn off the app or, you know, kind of avoid, so to speak.
Okay, so now we're making an interesting circle here. We put in complete doubt this project in the context of new kind of media and also new thinking. And then we can learn through this doubt and maybe re-engage this building again with different kind of media supplements or complements in relation to other media projects. So it's quite possible that it would be interesting to make use of this building, but after a long process of putting doubt its usefulness and bring it, because there are sculptures, so many sculptures there, they are saying nothing, but they are there, metaphorically speaking, willing to say something. They potentially are, they're waiting for the moment so they can be still.
Well, they say, ideologically speaking, they say a lot, but they say nothing as concerns what we want them to say.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, hegemonically, ideologically, they say too much, but of the wrong thing.
Yeah, they are stand-ins for the authority.
Yeah, well, we could say that they were created to say certain things. They might be not relevant or important, but they would not mind to be useful for the living.
To be useful again.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do justice to those statues, because some of those people actually, before they were redeployed as statues, they actually had some ideas that are not that. And we're talking about time of enlightenment, for example, because the Pennsylvania Holy Experiment, it's work of enlightenment. I think this is still reference. So those people probably would be very happy to maybe even see themselves relevant. And at least we should be also happy to see them relevant today for what they were trying to say. Because especially now, when you look at, listen to the present government, kind of new ideological agenda or interpretation of what America should be, in comparison to the last speech of Obama. So the last speech of President Obama was basically enlightenment speech. Enlightenment, many people said before, it's unfinished project. It will never be finished. It has to be transformed.
Which is also the spirit of this project.
Yes, and perhaps Obama didn't listen enough to citizens, especially those dissatisfied, that they did not open their ears. They were too much busy attacking the opponent. And maybe, I think Obama himself acknowledged it in some of the interviews, television. We cannot really count on those governments to listen, and the political parties to really have ears sensitive enough, because they are too busy, you know, in their own, sometimes very good and well-meaning work, but they also forgot to even communicate well what they are doing. So it's just, we have to figure out how cultural projects
can perform,
yes,
can
absolutely
perform what we demand, government or political
exactly space. So those cultural projects, media projects, have a powerful role to play in this democratic process.
you're holding on to the possibility that you're insisting on the possibility of re-symbolizing City Hall when it would be so easy to see it as immutable, as impossible to be, you know, re-symbolized.
It's also, we were talking about, the project is so smart in the sense that it's illuminating without turning into a spectacle. The abstract language of the code is very, and I think the interpretation, the performance of the interpretation and the way the pulsing and everything works, I think, you know, brings it to a completely different level.
Or you could say that, like, in the discussion between Hans Hacke and Pierre Bourdieu in Free Exchange, there's this interesting moment where they discuss the difference between producing a spectacle and spectacularizing something. Right? And so here, there is a spectacle that's being constructed, but it's not a spectacularization.
Yeah.
Right? It's not functioning as a sort of...
It still performs,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
you know, it's still in an operation, yeah, as opposed to...
Well, let's look at this project one more time. Because so what does it mean when there is no light on the...
Yeah, so when there's no light, the short absence of light or the long absence of light is that moment that correlates to profound vulnerability. Right? Because when there is light, that often signals, in this particular articulation of the code,
right, so,
you know,
there is no illumination, we are in trouble.
Yeah,
we are in darkness. So let us this kind of maybe etymological connection between enlightenment,
mm-hmm,
and illumination. You know, we have no light, we are in dark. It's have to do something to light up our city hall. And that might be an interesting moment of the alert. But this was, of course, it all makes on the sense if people take seriously that building. It inhabits their,
mm-hmm,
social imagination and sense of civic identity. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, reversing this and making a circle, if we make completely new mutation of the project that engaged all media and other interfaces, we might bring this building back to its original, at least hope of being relevant, a symbolic structure, and being a kind of reference,
yeah, or becoming
to a discussion.
Or becoming an interface itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Between
right.
The people.
Which is why I always had thought that perhaps the cultural institution could be that
interface.
That interface today. Or maybe it's like City Hall.
But also, you have to keep in mind that there is City Hall, but there are other sub-centers. We have to look again at the map of the city and also political structure of the city and see if illumination of the City Hall could not also, if there was a still illumination in our mind, some kind,
yeah,
of media media animation,
yeah,
could also have extensions,
mm-hmm,
to districts of the city and all various social organizations, because in fact this project from the beginning was relying on input. So this kind of committee of changing committee together, that information that was as input to the project would need to have another kind of mediation, probably through various social organizations that take care of people.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I saw in Yellow Pages when I first arrived to Philadelphia, you know, those are the ones who could supply,
yeah,
legitimate information based on their own experience working with people who are in need.
Yeah. I mean, ironically, we were just talking, Orkan and I, about Philadelphia Today, as opposed to both then and maybe even just 10, 15 years ago, and how today culture, arts and culture, has been harnessed by, let's say, City Hall itself, for a fairly neoliberal agenda, and how difficult it would be to enact something like this that wouldn't be, in a way, for lack of a better term, like co-opted before it began.
Oh, so that's one good reason to think of other projects.
But at the same time, the goals that this project was setting in motion and aspiring towards remain, I think, like fundamental goals and questions to continue to stay with, to think about, to not move beyond. I mean, I think
surround the City Hall by projects that in which City Hall will be a reference,
yeah,
but not necessarily employ City Hall itself.
I mean, the other part of me thinks, as we've been talking about the avenue of the arts, as it's called, that leads into City Hall, and how at night it is in fact illuminated with choreographed color.
Which one?
It's really Broad Street, leading into City Hall from South Philadelphia, for maybe a half a mile.
Is that the one, the Mummers Parade?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is already, in fact, at night, illuminated with kind of outlandish, you know, colors. But of course, there's no code.
There's no meaning there.
And there's no meaning. There's no code and there's no communication. And so it would be also interesting to think about, in fact, if today the goal would be to repurpose what is already there, not just the buildings, but also the illumination systems that function in a purely corporate way.
But the problem is that
new codes.
This street is not the same as the hall. So by imposing this code on lively illumination of a street might be actually depriving people of the pleasure of having illumination without some code. That's when the code go back to City Hall, which is so deadly serious already about its civic duty in terms of its narrative. Why the street should perhaps be free of this in order to let City Hall, you know, do the job. But still, I think they're looking for other options. Good. But the city still... Well, you're saying that we should not have any hope when it comes to capacity of the city administration to deal with social issues.
That's what's beautiful about this project, is that it holds on to the... It doesn't abandon the possibility that you can re-symbolize a space and even a governmental, political kind of narrative that has hundreds of years of having played out in ways that have been deeply oppressive and a mechanism for great injustice. What's beautiful about the project is that it holds on to the possibility that you can re-symbolize these institutions, these narratives, and that you can engage fellow city dwellers in constructing a new shared narrative for the city, right? I mean, that's at the same time, there are so many reasons to,
So maybe there should be alternative city halls.
Is the goal to somehow develop a counter-hegemonic potential within or around City Hall, or is the goal to, in a way, focus elsewhere one's energies?
So each person who has a significant thing to say becomes a city hall, established own symbolic ground and own place from which to speak and to affect the rest of the city as a kind of
1,000 city halls
act.
If every window in every apartment or every house was being provided with these kits, and that of your own volition, you kind of illuminate, so to speak, in this Enlightenment-esque way, one's street, one's block, one's neighborhood, but so too that potentially generates other like-minded efforts, and the whole city suddenly is an illuminated city, maybe City Hall remains a dark site, a dark space.
Or one of them.
But it has to be responsive to that which it surrounds on some level. Yeah.
That's a very good moment to close this, because the next step is to move into projects and design and experiment different kind of holy experiments. The one we can propose and develop with the groups of people and residents as much as we can or beyond.